Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Top of the hour. Thanks for watching our show here on Fantasy Sports Today. It is 1:02 on the East, 12:02 Central. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. I am reminded during our previous segment, it is not only LeBron James's birthday and Tiger Woods' birthday, but it's also Sandy Koufax's birthday today. So three greatest of all time. Koufax, greatest Jewish player of all time, probably one of the single greatest left-handed pitchers of all time. So add him to that list of birthdays today for sure. Here are our headlines here on the show. We have the Duke's Mayo Bowl going on right now. It looks like South Carolina's head coach is going to get doused with mayo after the game. Three more bowl games coming up a little bit later today. 76ers and Nets headlining tonight's four-game NBA slate. We will do a little DFS preview coming up next in about 10 minutes from now. Stay on the grid for that. Michigan takes on Central Florida tonight in college hoops in Orlando. And in baseball, Kyle Seager, surprisingly coming off a really solid year with the Seattle Mariners, decides, Davis, to call it quits. So we even get a little baseball news here on the show. And to my dismay, I wish there was a lot more baseball news that we would have for you here on Fantasy Sports Today. It is the thing that I love. It's the thing that I am passionate about, do it every single day. But unfortunately, we have a lockout going on and no meetings going on either. And so therefore, our fantasy baseball discussion may have to be put on hold for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that is a huge bummer, right? I wish that I wish we were getting ready. I wish we were hearing some best shape of his life stories. I wish the hot stove was going on. Guys were getting traded. Free agents were getting signed. But just a very weird story with Kyle Seager. I mean, 34 is not really that old for a baseball player, especially Kyle Seager, who could transition into a role where he is DHing and playing a little bit at third base, DHing and playing a little bit of first base too. I mean, I guess it goes back to that line from Moneyball. Like, oh yeah, you just got to learn how to play first base. How hard can it be? And Scott Hatterberg, Chris Pratt says it's actually very difficult. But I mean, a great season for Kyle Seager last year, .226 isolated slugging, second highest of his career, 35 home runs, the most of his career. Even stole a couple bases, so it's not like he was out there, you know, lumbering around like David Ortiz. He still, was still getting out there. And he played 159 games. It's not even like he's coming off of a year where he was injured. I don't know. Maybe did his contract expire? So yes. He didn't want to have to test. Okay, so there we go. I mean, maybe he won't stay retired for that long, right? Maybe he's retired and, the Texas Rangers will call him up in May and be like, hey, actually, we'll give you $18.5 million to come and be our part-time third baseman, part-time DH. And he's a left-handed batter. So I absolutely guarantee you that there are going to be teams who need what Kyle Seager provides this season. But just weird. I always liked Kyle Seager. I thought this was a weird story.
Yeah, good player. And look, there were some rumblings about this happening before the end of the season. So it didn't take, I think, Seattle off guard. But you're right. Things can change. He could come back if he chose to. I don't know if you've been following this, speaking of baseball, and it's something that we'll do probably in a week or two. But Davis, I've never seen more heat on the Hall of Fame voting than this year. And it's not particularly close. Like, I'm proud of the voters. I am not one of them. I'm not part of the Baseball Writers Association. I'm proud of them for making their ballots public, Davis. But some of these ballots are just like they're getting crushed. I mean, I don't know if you saw the latest one today. And I think about 25% of the ballots have been public. We'll have another 25% because they're due now. You have to send them out, I think, by tomorrow is the deadline. But somebody on their ballot today revealed that their only vote was Curt Schilling and no one else. Like to make a, I guess, political statement of some kind. So I mean, I don't know. I never want to think that's going to change, and you have to be a writer, I believe, for 10 years, and then you get to start to vote. But you have so many baseball writers that are not baseball writers anymore, that have no interest in writing. We have blank ballots going in. And people don't realize, like, these players, this is like a second career for them. If they get in the Hall of Fame, you get the autograph stuff, you get the endorsements and everything else. And it's like these writers are on their soapbox. I think we may be headed for a change. I think that if you don't write on baseball anymore, I don't think you're going to be allowed to vote.
I mean, these cranky old men who don't even like baseball being allowed to vote, and there are loads of people, you know, guys who are, you know, working for FanGraphs and for Baseball Prospectus and Baseball America, and the fact that they would not have a vote, it's just very backwards. And you're right. I mean, imagine how much you would have to hate the sport that you cover to look at the ballot of guys eligible in 2022 and vote for Curt Schilling, and that be the only one that you vote for. I mean, it is just a gigantic bummer. And I very much want David Ortiz to get in first ballot, and I know he's not going to, because I believe he was a steroid guy, which, again, maybe I don't care about at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he right now has just about 80. He's got a chance. He's got a chance to be a first ballot guy. It's going to be close, but if not Ortiz, then the writers will vote no one in this year. I don't think Bonds and Clemens are getting in. Scott Rowland is close. Scott Rowland will be a next year guy for sure. But a story for a different day. Trust me, 2 weeks from now, when the fantasy football season is over, we'll dive into the Hall of Fame, no doubt. All right, Thursday night NBA. We got a 4-game NBA slate. Davis and Brett will bring that to you, give you some tips for tonight. So make sure you stay on the grid. Then I will return. We'll talk some more fantasy football as we get ready for a big, big weekend, championship weekend.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. 4 games in the NBA tonight, and of course, each and every day, especially with football winding down, we're giving you the opportunity to pull out your FanDuel app and see if we can help you make some money setting a DFS lineup tonight. To help you with that, of course, we have Davis Maddock, of course, of Fantasy Sports Today and Daily Roto, and our producer, Brett Levy, who is playing the DFS slate as well. So, gentlemen, let's get things started. Brett, good to see you once again. And how are we looking for tonight's slate?
Yeah, Craig, you know, 4-game slate, but a lot of fun tonight. We've got Nets Sixers. We've got the Wizards on the slate. The Cavs giving us a lot of buy low opportunities. So lots of good stuff. And, you know, my Rookie of the Year candidate, Evan Mobley, is back in the lineup for Cleveland as well. So even if you are stuck watching the Cavaliers with no Garland, no Rubio, no Sexton, Evan Mobley has been a treat. So that's good. And hopefully they get Jared Allen back.
All right. So, Davis, walk us through Brett's lineup tonight and tell me what you think about some of the choices.
All right, well, here we are in the backcourt. We have Spencer Dinwiddie making the lineup with Bradley Beal. Questionable, not expected to be playing. I don't remember if he's rest, back injury, health and safety protocols, but does not look like he's going to be playing. Steph Curry, the favorite for the MVP and our highest projected player on DailyRoto.com. Brett and I talked about this fella last night, Kevin Pangos. He is... Brett, he is the only guard left on the roster for the Cleveland Cavaliers with all of the guys that they have banged up. So we should see big minutes from him and even Isaac Okoro in the backcourt. I mean, I would imagine those guys are going to be in for a heaping helping of minutes for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then Will Barton, who is always sort of an interesting guy for fantasy, a good matchup for them, a higher pace matchup against the Golden State Warriors, going to be one of the highest total games tonight, sitting at 214 right now. So walk me through how some of these guys made it in your lineup.
Yeah, well, the you know, Nuggets are going to need Will Barton to score tonight, Dave, as they're going to need his scoring going up against Steph Curry. And Steph Curry in a battle of MVPs, Davis, I feel like that's a good dice to roll there. I knew I was going to have Pangos in my lineup as it's just him and Malik Newman in the backcourt for the Cavs. I guess we could also expect to see Denzel Valentine get some ball handling responsibilities here, Davis. Kind of a point forward role for Denzel Valentine as well. So maybe in the front court, you might want to look to spend on him. But his price already jumped a little bit, Davis. They had him in the 5,000s already. Pangos below $4,000. I feel like that's a must play for me. I also really like Kevin Pangos. Really efficient player. Shoots the ball really high percentage from the three-point line. Makes all his free throws, makes a lot of the right decisions, was really one of the guards that got this whole thing, I wouldn't say started at Gonzaga, but rolling at Gonzaga, where they started making Final Fours and Elite Eights year in and year out, because Gonzaga's been a good program for a while, but you know, he was an All-American there, so really good player, Davis, and look, obviously, with a guy that doesn't play very much most nights, you know, you never know what you're going to get. Pritchard kind of put up a stinker last night for me. So there's always the opportunity these plays flop.
Always an opportunity, but I mean, I had no idea about any of that, about Kevin Pangos. So at least it's nice to know that he can play a little bit when I put him in my lineup tonight. Let's go ahead and move to the front court now. You have Tobias Harris there for the Philadelphia 76ers. He just had a triple-double, probably one of the first triple-doubles of his career the other night. We have Davis Bertans in here because loads of guys are out for the Washington Wizards. Bradley Beal is questionable. KCP is questionable. Anthony Gill is questionable. And they have some health and safety protocol guys as well. The aforementioned Evan Mobley back for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Jarrett Allen is doubtful for that game. Juan Toscano-Anderson, certainly never going to win any awards for being the flashiest player on the court, but getting some good minutes for the Golden State Warriors. And then Joel Embiid is here in their game against the Brooklyn Nets. So break me down the front court selections, Brett.
Yeah, so Davis, I wanted to make sure I got Joel Embiid against the Brooklyn Nets. We're expecting this to be the reloaded Nets with Kevin Durant and James Harden out there. And look, Embiid plays really well against the Brooklyn Nets over his career, Davis. I wouldn't call him a Nets killer because the Sixers don't necessarily win all those games. But his numbers that he puts up in the... He gets up for the Nets matchup. Let's just say that. And I wanted to make sure I got him in the lineup. I also like Tobias Harris a lot. I think, look, he gets the second most shots on Philadelphia night in and night out. You mentioned the triple-double a few nights ago. He's just a really talented player. Fills up the stat sheet, does a little bit of everything. Bertans, again, below $4,000. Going to shoot threes, Davis, for me. So, look, if he's hot tonight, you know, you could see his point total get up to 21 points. Maybe he gets a few rebounds and a block for me as well. Can play small forward or power forward on FanDuel, which is kind of nice because he's really just a power forward in real life. So, I kind of like the flexibility here. And then Toscano-Anderson, I just needed a guy to fill out my lineup here, Davis. And I wanted Embiid, wanted Mobley, wanted Tobias Harris. I try and use the maximum budget here so I could afford Toscano-Anderson. I don't really have a great feeling if he's going to have a good night or not. But he plays every night for the Golden State Warriors, which is important during times like this, Davis. You're not guessing, is he going to be in and out of the lineup? You know he's going to be in the Golden State rotation. So at least I'm getting some points there. It's not a high-risk play, not a high-ceiling play. He's probably not going to get me more than 25 points on a good night.
Yeah, which, you know, sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. Definitely need to point out a couple other guys here who might be a little bit interesting. We were talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers rotation, but Lauri Markkanen has been playing very well, basically as you know, they've tried to figure out what they're going to do without Colin Sexton. Now they're trying to figure out what they're going to do without Darius Garland and Ricky Rubio. That's going to mean, you know, Lauri Markkanen basically just played as a power forward for the Chicago Bulls, but he's just out there as a wing player and a backup power forward for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if Jared Allen does not play tonight, he is listed as doubtful. And if Lamar Stevens does not play, we have to feel pretty good about Lauri Markkanen, I think. And then I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the Denver rotation. If Aaron Gordon doesn't play, are you interested in Jeff Green, Jamichael Green, anyone like that? Because they'll have a very, very thin rotation if Aaron Gordon, who is listed as questionable, Vlad Gokhandkar listed as questionable, Monty Morris listed as questionable, and Austin Rivers listed as questionable. You know, is there any gold there to mine, pardon the pun, out of the Denver Nuggets rotation if those guys don't play?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely like Jeff Green. I was looking at Bones Highland because I did see how beat up their backcourt is. But it just feels like one of Monty Morris or Austin Rivers gets in there. But Bones Highland, interesting player, came out of VCU, Davis, high energy guy, defender, you know, the whole Havoc thing at VCU. So, look, that's a guy that's obviously going to get some minutes tonight because we have two, you know, game time decisions in the backcourt for Denver. And yeah, Jeff Green, obviously. A person you can play anytime that the Nuggets are down some guys. He's a reliable vet, so I think that's always good to have. Kevin Love, kind of the same way, Davis, you know, just a reliable vet that's been getting some minutes in the front court with the Cavaliers' issues there.
Can't go wrong with any reliable vets. Definitely pay attention to that Denver Nuggets rotation news because that's really going to swing stuff tonight on FanDuel. If you guys are playing on FanDuel tonight, make sure that you check out the free projections over at dailyroto.com. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on the show. Craig will rejoin us just in a moment to talk about some of the biggest fantasy football disappointments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Make sure you are following us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, fantasy information, of course, picks against the spread, and all kinds of late breaking information. That's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Well, naturally, as we come to the end of the fantasy football season, Davis and I will have a review of the full football season, the winners, the losers, and everything else, and on a show at a later date that's coming up soon. But for today's show, Davis, I thought maybe let's focus a little bit on not the players that got you here, but the players that didn't help you. But, you know, the hard part about this, too, is determining, you know, what makes a disappointment in fantasy football. Do you count an injury? Do you not count an injury? And so for this exercise, I think for me it was a little bit of a combination of both, because obviously the biggest fantasy football disappointment overall for the season has got to be Christian McCaffrey, because he basically didn't play this season. But do you use qualifiers when it comes to this as far as injuries are concerned? Does that count?
You know, I think it kind of depends on the player. Like one of the guys we're about to talk about, Saquon Barkley, that was obviously one of the risks coming into the year. He was coming off of an injury. He's been banged up every single year of his career. So that sort of played into what you are doing, because if you were guaranteed that Saquon was going to be fine, and he turned out this performance, like, hey, because Saquon has also been a disappointment in terms of what he's done when he's been healthy. But I would consider some guys injury disappointments and some guys not injury disappointments. And it's basically done on a case-by-case basis. If a guy who's never been hurt before, you know, breaks his leg or tears his ACL or whatever, you know, what are you going to do? But like Christian McCaffrey, we've been worried about his injuries. He got injured in sort of a predictable way and kept having to go to the tent when he was in. Like, I think that that does count for sure.
Okay. Well, let's go through some of the names here. And I think that this is probably an obvious list to most people because somebody out there playing fantasy had one of these players this year. Darrell Henderson Jr., I definitely was invested in, thought after the first few weeks of the season, this is going to be a league-winning pick. And obviously, this guy is not made to be an every-down back in the NFL. I think that's been abundantly clear in 2021, at least for me. Did not have a great year. He's out for the season. Mike Davis, the Falcons signed to take over for Todd Gurley, who they let go. So coming up next year, it'll be five straight seasons with the Falcons with a different running back, because I don't think Davis will be their starter next year. Patterson was much better than him. The Dolphins said, you know what? We're not going to get a running back. We're just going to play guys that we have already on the roster. And so Miles Gaskin was that guy this year, Davis, and he certainly did not turn out to be anything special. Saquon Barkley, who you mentioned, some serious question marks about him right now and the future. And then Alvin Kamara, without really basically much of a quarterback play through injuries and COVID and all these other issues throughout the season. A year ago right now, Davis, it was Kamara leading teams to a fantasy football championship with that unbelievable game that he had on that Saturday night. And this year, if you drafted Alvin Kamara, you're probably not in the fantasy football championship this year.
Yeah, you're probably not. I mean, I think the two guys on this list who it seems a little bit harsh to call disappointments are Henderson and Kamara, because Henderson never had a game where you started him where he was a disappointment. So pretty much in every single game that he had, he either, you know, caught four or five passes or scored a touchdown. In fact, he had more games with two touchdowns than games without touchdowns at all when he was healthy. Now, the last 2 weeks, right? So against Minnesota, if you started him, he gets hurt right away. If you started him against Seattle, he was the backup to Sony Michel in that game. But he was largely good other than that, right? You and I had him on a bunch of these teams that he was giving us, you know, good running back one numbers, running back two numbers. And then it's hard for me to tell if Kamara was a disappointment or if he just got unlucky, because Kamara, actually, even though he only played 11 games, Craig, he got the most carries of his entire career in those 11 games. Kamara was on pace this season to basically have the best fantasy year of his career. I mean, had he not got hurt, and also had Jameis Winston not torn his ACL, I think that the risk, sort of how I look at it, is like, were you right on the risk reward at the beginning of the season? And looking at Kamara, the risk reward was, if this guy stays healthy and if the quarterback play is adequate, he is going to be, I mean, he would have been the number one player in all of fantasy. He would have even been better than Jonathan Taylor had he not gotten hurt and not gotten on the COVID list, because he was on pace to have about 90 receptions and about 300 carries, which, I mean, you know, that is an unbelievable season. But the other guys on this list, Mike Davis, didn't draft him anywhere, wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, probably not even a 30-foot pole. Just the classic example of a mediocre talent who's never done anything in his career. Remember, Mike Davis, 30 years old, not a young guy that the Falcons signed, and he basically was useless after a month of the fantasy season, and he was useless in a very predictable way. Same is true of Miles Gaskin. There were always going to be other guys on the roster. He ends up getting outproduced by street free agent Duke Johnson, and then Barkley. Like, I got to admit, Barkley was one of these guys on the list who I consider a disappointment, who I was in on because of the risk reward. But clearly the risk reward calculation was wrong, because one of the things we were assuming was that Barkley would be good after he, you know, was activated off of the PUP list with that knee injury. And he wasn't. He's been awful. Devontae Booker has been better than him as a member of the Giants this year. Been better per touch. Devontae Booker's starts with no Barkley were better than any game Saquon's had this season. So Saquon, a huge fantasy disappointment, in my opinion.
To have Devontae Booker and Rashad Penny play better than Barkley was not something that anybody would have thought at the beginning of the season, no doubt. All right, wide receiver, we've got a nice list here of players, too, that have been disappointing. DK Metcalf, of course, didn't have Russell Wilson the entire season, but even when he did, was it that all that impressive? Probably not. Julio Jones, one of the bigger busts in all of fantasy this season for the Tennessee Titans. Both Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton were really chic names to draft in fantasy this season. That was completely off. Calvin Ridley, of course, had the, you know, issue where he had to leave the team for personal issues, but, you know, it's somewhere in between a bust and not, I guess, for me with him, because it was early on enough where you could have replaced him, I suppose. And then Kenny Golladay was a complete bust as well for the Giants. You know, there was some thought for me putting Michael Thomas on this list, Davis, because he was drafted in every draft. Like, he was I mean, not a first three or four round pick, but everybody drafted Michael Thomas under the assumption that he would play, didn't play a single game. Will Fuller also barely played this season. That was like an honorable mention. And I'm sure I missed some others.
Well, there are certainly more disappointments at the wide receiver position because fantasy football ADP went crazy this year. We saw more wide receivers than ever before go in the first round, second round, third round, and then pretty much from like the third round to the ninth round, it was just like we're taking wide receivers. Like the wide receiver 50 was going off the board in like the ninth round in fantasy this year. It just got, it got insane. I'm totally with you though. I love DK Metcalf, but yeah, I mean, there's no way you can look at it season and say he wasn't a disappointment. One 100-yard game. His two touchdown games, by the way, came with Geno Smith throwing him passes. So not Russell Wilson, Geno Smith throwing him touchdown passes. Now, it was one of the games was where Russell Wilson got injured. He got that mallet finger injury in the middle of that game, but clearly a fantasy disappointment. Jerry Jeudy, massive fantasy disappointment because we thought that Jeudy would sort of be an enhanced version of like Cole Beasley or Julian Edelman, where he would score some long touchdowns, but also just be a really solid possession wide receiver. And he does have some 6 reception games, but 0 100-yard games, got injured, 0 touchdowns on the year for Jerry Jeudy, massive disappointment. Sutton gets that huge contract extension, out-targeted by the Broncos' backup tight end since he signed the extension. Calvin Ridley, I mean, you know, what can you do? The guy is clearly going through something, is not even with the team, but yeah, you're not feeling happy if you drafted him. And then Kenny Golladay, I mean, how's this for a stat? In the same year that he signed a 4-year, $72 million contract, he rewards his team with 0 touchdowns. 0 touchdowns in 2020 for Kenny Golladay. So not that I was drafting Kenny Golladay. I think if your draft strategy was just, I'm taking 0 New York Giants players, you probably came out on the good side of that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Jeudy is at the top of the list, Davis, because I thought Jeudy was better than both Alabama receivers that was drafted this year, at Alabama. I mean, Jeudy was unbelievable there. And I think people forget about how good he was there. Vic Fangio, the head coach of the Broncos, hasn't forgotten, says this is the week that Jeudy gets it going.
Well, some of the reasons, we had some games where we ran it a bunch so that we didn't throw it a bunch. And then last week we didn't have many plays because we didn't get anything going and the Raiders were able to, sustain some drives against us. You know, those are two tangible reasons. He's been targeted a good bit. I think, I'm hoping and expecting Jerry to have a good game this week.
We'll see about that. Don't really believe it, but we'll see. Tight ends. Tight ends real quick before we go. Let's show the graphic real quick. Darren Waller, I fought with this one because he's been hurt so much, but even the games he played, it was not a Waller season. Kmet, no touchdowns. Wow, was Jonnu Smith a bust? And Higbee, not good. Harder to find tight end bust, Davis, because they're all busts. That's kind of the way I looked at it.
Kittle was looking like a bust for a huge chunk of the season. Kelsey had basically his worst statistical output. He did in the fantasy football conference round, he had a huge game. But, I mean, I think fantasy football bust at tight end, all of them, except for Mark Andrews.
Yeah, Andrews was unbelievable. And listen, Kittle may have won 2 games single-handedly for you, and what else can you really ask for in fantasy these days? But you're right, Andrews has been putting together.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Numbers that I never would have expected this season, for sure. All right, we'll take a quick break on FST when we come back. Fantasy or reality? Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Before we get to fantasy or reality, I want to remind you that this coming Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, you can catch me and Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker as we help you out on Fantasy Football Championship Sunday. That's this Sunday right here on Sports Grid. So make sure you tune in there for all your DFS information. Head on over to Daily Roto, get your help from Davis. Of course, he'll appear on Pro Football Today coming up this Sunday as well. All right, let's go to some fantasy or reality and turn it over to Brett Levy. Brett, what do we got?
All right, guys. Well, we have some fun questions today, but we're starting off, I guess, in the NBA, kind of on the internet. LeBron James posted a meme, I guess it was about COVID, and comparing it to the flu and cold, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did not like it very much, calling it a blow to his worthy legacy. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. LeBron James meme post is a blow to his worthy legacy. Davis, is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, for me, I think just sort of the last year of LeBron in terms of his interactions with the media and everything, I think it's probably not a blow to his legacy. It's not going to be something we talk about in 20 years, but it hurts his Q rating a little bit. And it started, if we want to go all the way back and remember when it started with the Daryl Morey China stuff. When LeBron was like, hey, I think Daryl Morey is not informed about the situation. And it's like, you know, LeBron, you can just be honest and be like, I'm trying to get the bag, and Daryl Morey is clearly interfering with me getting the bag. And I think that you know, probably from LeBron's perspective, it's probably very annoying for the league that he is so interlaced with to be going through this frustrating period right now where, you know, Joe Johnson is signing off the street. People are asking, where's Jimmer Fredette? We got to get Jimmer Fredette on a team. Like, and I assume LeBron is either had COVID, tested positive for COVID, been asymptomatic. Certainly he knows plenty of people at this point who have had COVID and been asymptomatic. And when you're in that situation, LeBron looks around, sees all his buddies in the NBA getting COVID. They're not sick. They're not dying. They're not getting put on ventilators. And so probably from his perspective, he's like, what's the big deal? You know, why can't we play basketball? Not realizing that, you know, NBA players are basically going to be the least susceptible people to the severe complications of any illness. And also, they're all vaccinated, right? Like, what was the most recent report? 97% of NBA players at this point are vaccinated, so they're getting shielded from the harsh impacts that way. So it's just like, I don't know. We want athletes to be honest. We want athletes to tell us what they really feel, but we also don't want athletes to say anything that like ruffles the feathers. So yeah, it's kind of a hard situation, but I don't know. I'm not gonna bury LeBron, but certainly he is deviating from his past performances in the political arena, where he's mostly said things that we all sort of agree with and are on board with him with.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the one thing that we've learned most during the pandemic is nothing. Basically, we have no idea about what is happening, who is getting what, how it's happening, who's getting sick, who's not getting sick. Seems like a lot of guessing going on. But the one thing that seems to be proven more than anything else is that by getting vaccinated, you are less likely to get sick from this. So I would say that it will not hurt LeBron's, you know, legacy and all of that. Although I would say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is one of the very few NBA guys that when he speaks, right, I'm like, okay, I'm curious, yes, to hear what Kareem has to say. You know, to me, I mean, his legacy is, you know, entrenched both on and off the court forever. So yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. I personally, you know, have a son that couldn't get vaccinated right away due to allergy issues, and I'm waiting now to get him his second vaccination. So it kind of shocks me to see these things, because I want to feel completely clear and want to feel like this is all done, and now we're back home and waiting again for him to get done so we can all be fully, you know, vaccinated again. So a little bit of a disappointment, but will I be thinking about this in terms of LeBron in 2 or 3 years? Absolutely not. Does not hurt his legacy whatsoever. And I think that, you know, Kareem probably coming out saying this, just doing more for the global scale than just to point the finger at LeBron is my guess. So I will say fantasy, but yeah, there is some level of current disappointment, no question.
All right. Well, we had to do a quick Omaha at the line of scrimmage today, Craig, because right before the show, Ben Roethlisberger announced that he was most likely going to retire in the offseason. So we switched this question for you. So it's a bit of a surprise, I'm sure. But Lamar Jackson had a noticeable limp at practice yesterday. Tyler Huntley appears to be coming off the COVID protocols. He's played very well in filling in roles for Lamar this year. So we have to ask, and Craig, we'll start with you for this one. Lamar Jackson will start for the Ravens on Sunday. Is this a fantasy or reality?
It could be the first time on our show that we probably should have thrown two questions away for question number two, because we should throw this one away too, unfortunately, because 5 minutes ago, the beat writers covering Ravens practice said that, no, Lamar Jackson out, not practicing today. So,
wow.
They're not saying he's out, but he's not there, and Huntley's taking the snaps. So, I mean, simple and plain, I guess we'll spend more time on question number three. So I'm going to say fantasy. He will not start. He will not play. I mean, that's what it looks like.
I mean, this is crazy, right? Like for Lamar to not be placed on the IR, you know, not be placed on the designated for return IR, and basically for every single week for him to be listed as questionable up until Friday, it is very bizarre. I mean, it makes me wonder if it's like a broken ankle or something, and he's just trying his best to hobble through it, because even a high ankle sprain, he's been out 5 weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. So it feels like he should be getting close if it's a high ankle sprain. So I wonder if it's a muscular injury. Like, I wonder if he's got like plantar fascia or something going on, because it feels like if it was an ankle sprain or like something structural, he should be closer to returning. But I mean, a huge bummer for the Ravens, though. I gotta say, I like this Huntley kid. Like, he's kind of fun. He scrambles around. And I mean, the number one thing you want from a backup quarterback, no fear. The backup quarterbacks who come in and play like they know their backup quarterbacks, they're dead before they hit the water. And so at least Huntley will give us a little bit of a show against the Rams, I think.
Listen, I love a good hustle, and Huntley is going to hustle his way to $15 million from some team this offseason. He may end up work out. He may end up being a starter somewhere and be good in the NFL. But I have seen this story before. And there are not 20 good quarterbacks in the NFL. Tyler Huntley is going to be competing or starting for an NFL gig on a team not named the Ravens next season. And it looks like, by the way, he's going to start this Sunday. Although that's not confirmed, he is taking all the snaps today at practice for the Ravens. So, fantasy. I got Lamar out. Maybe back. We'll be back tomorrow with a different story, but not now. I can't do it.
All right. Well, I tried to call timeout to, you know, stop us from having to snap that one, Craig, but we're out of timeout. So it's late in the second half. Just a lot going on. Can't manage a clock either. So I'm just in a lot of trouble over here with the show. But our third question, I know we'll be all good. And Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Everyone loves their snacks, especially on New Year's when you're drinking, having a good time at a party. But we want to know what everyone's favorite snack is. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. If you could only pick one food to eat on New Year's Eve, it would be pizza. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Man, this is a tough one, because the go-to takeout order in my house is actually Indian food. We have an amazing family-owned small business, super authentic Indian, like Nepalese place, like right down the road from our house. I call, I drive down the streets, 5 minutes away. I go pick it up, come home, and it is the best. But I think in general, if you're going to like another person's house, or if you're having people over, you literally cannot go wrong with pizza. If you're having people over, I find me someone who is dietarily able to eat pizza, you know, not lactose intolerant, not allergic to gluten, not celiacs or whatever, who doesn't like pizza, and I will show you a statistical anomaly. You really cannot go wrong. One cheese, one pepperoni, one supreme. You invite 10 people. I mean, or you can double them up. You invite 10 people over. That pizza is going to get eaten. Even if it's bad, right? Even if it's Pizza Hut pizza or whatever, it is going to get eaten. So I feel like just in general for a New Year's Eve food where you're kind of gathering, it's got to be a reality. You just cannot go wrong with pizza.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can go wrong if I don't know. I mean, you make a very valid point, but like if I go to somebody's house, and we're not doing that this year, so let's use our own house. If I had no choice and it had to be one of the chain pizza places, I don't know. I may say fantasy here because I'm just, now that I've had good pizza, I don't know that I want, like, you know, one of the chain places, Davis, you know, honestly, whether it's Pizza Hut or Domino's or even Papa John's. Now, I will say that I don't really ever eat the chain pizza all that much. Pizza Hut's the only one. And for some reason, my wife loves Pizza Hut pizza. So that's why we get that one, the pan. But I'll say reality. I'll say definitely pizza. But if I had my preference, Davis, it would be my local pizza place, wherever that is, wherever you are watching in the country. Everybody has their own, oh, well, this pizza, my local pizza place is the best, right? And if it's that, it's a yes. But if it's not, it's a maybe. I got to say, it is a maybe because I don't love the chains.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest, Craig, I am a chain pizza guy. I worked at Domino's in college. I know exactly what making a pizza at Domino's is. It's fresh bread. It's fresh ingredients. They slice it all up there, which I know obviously it's not as good as your local place, but I'm cool getting Domino's if Domino's is on the menu. And Papa John's is fine. Their bread is pretty good. Now, there are the problem here in St. Louis. Sorry if you're listening to this and you're from the Midwest. St. Louis style pizza is not good. The cheese is not good. The sauce is too sweet. They go too heavy on the pepperonis. Like it's really just not good. So like the local pizza places here, it's all like I would rather not. Now there was a local pizza place in Kansas City called Minsky's. That would be my number one choice. Like I would be like, hey, we're coming over. We're ordering three pizzas from Minsky's. It'll be enough for everyone. So I'm with you on that.
All right, fair enough. Pizza it is on New Year's Eve. Hopefully everybody has a nice, safe New Year's Eve with some pizza on their menu for sure. All right, we got to take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. Davis and I will be back on the show tomorrow. And we have both have had good luck going over our personal fantasy teams throughout the playoffs. So here we are. I'm in the championship. Davis has got a championship squad. We're going to take a look at those teams tomorrow. And look at our opponents and see if we have a good shot to win or not going into the weekend. But we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, Sports Grid 60 time. And then, of course, don't forget, a little bit later on, we got Carver in for Scott Farrell and a whole lot more bowl games in game live, too. We'll be right back. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Davis and I will be right back here on tomorrow's show, our New Year's Eve edition of the show, getting you ready for the fantasy football weekend. Before we leave you today, let's get started with the Sports Grid 60. Here's Davis.
Little bit of advice for everyone. I know we're all sitting there trying to get our fantasy football championship lineups together and you're mulling over a bunch of decisions. And I will give some contrary advice. You know, I think sort of the general advice is start your studs, dance with the girl who you came with. I actually think that's terrible advice. I think you are much better off going with the best possible option. So an example for my team, DJ Moore rode the pine last week for Josh Palmer. he's going to do it again this week if Mike Williams and Jalen Guyton are out. Of course, there are you know, many, many combinations, many thousands of combinations of waiver wire guy, new guy to the team, and guy who's been on your team for 16 weeks. But you don't need to dance with the girl who brought you in the fantasy football playoffs. That's my take for today.
Boston Scott, Ronald Jones, Jeff Wilson. That's the summary for me. Yeah, go figure that. So in doing some prep for the show, looking at some of the post-game video last night, watching Russell Westbrook do his post-game, you know, it's sort of unimaginable to me to – and by the way, Russell Westbrook, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players ever in the history of the NBA. But there's this disdain with the media going on with Russell Westbrook, and I'm not sure what it is. Is it in L.A. now, too, like it was in Oklahoma City? Literally 5 minutes of Westbrook giving two-word answers and texting on his phone after the game last night. I can't imagine covering a sport where that's, you know, part of my job is to interview somebody like that. And I suppose maybe it's not fair because I don't know Westbrook as the person, but just a weak look on some of these Zooms, or at least the one that I saw last night, that's for sure. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to LTN, of course. Thanks to Danny, and for Brett Levy and David Matic. I'm Craig Mitch. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow. Great.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming, odds,
and more.
The others?
Nah.
This.